As we go to broadcast, all indications are that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States, though President Trump had yet to concede. Mr. Biden will take office in the midst of the surging coronavirus pandemic and the climate emergency. Both threats will require a bipartisan effort to address them. During the campaign, Mr. Biden released a clean energy plan aimed at pushing the United States towards a 100% clean energy economy and achieving net zero emissions by the year 2050. It's an ambitious goal, and here to talk about how Republicans and Democrats might work together to get there is Bob Inglis. He's a Republican and former U.S. Representative for South Carolina's 4th Congressional District and leads Republic-N, a conservative organization focused on solving the climate crisis. Bob Inglis, welcome back to Living on Earth.
Good to be with you, Steve. Thanks very much.
So who are some of the strongest Republican leaders you think who will step forward and support President Joe Biden in moving forward a clean energy plan?
Yeah, you know, the ones that I look to mostly in the Senate would be Senator Braun of Indiana, Senator Romney of Utah. In the House, John Curtis in Utah. These are Republicans who have signaled a real willingness to talk about climate change. And of course, back to the Senate, Lisa Murkowski very importantly said recently that carbon pricing should be on the table. That was an important signal. So what it will take, I think, is Joe Biden actually reaching out to these senators and House members. And I think there's a real shot at that because of the humbler victory that he's won. He doesn't come in with my way or the highway, get out of the way or the train's going to roll over you. It's rather, hey, folks, can we get at the table and find a way to come together on climate change? And I also am putting a lot of stock in Joe Biden's history in the U.S. Senate. But I think Joe Biden has a chance of being a nicer master of the Senate, a guy who has deep relationships there, who understands the plays. Of course, he's got more help in the House with the Democratic majority, so the Senate is going to be where his attentions need to be paid.
Now, the Biden administration is going to have an inbox that could probably reach to the top of the Washington Monument. Just all kinds of things that need immediate attention, it would seem. How will the climate agenda, the climate protection agenda, advance in those circumstances? What do you think is the best move for the Biden administration to make right away regarding the climate, except, of course, for saying that we're back in Paris, so the Paris Climate Accord, as he said he's going to do?
Yeah, that, of course, I think is the thing he does first. I think probably the next thing is build back better in the coronavirus times with infrastructure that focuses on clean energy. He'll find bipartisan support for that. And then I hope what he sees is a real opportunity for a twofer, especially to reward the progressive wing of his party with a pretty bold approach to climate change. And here's what I think that is. It's to price carbon dioxide through a carbon tax and then cut taxes on payroll so that you really are simultaneously addressing climate change and income inequality. And the twofer for his progressive wing is, did you see what I just did? We just gave low and moderate income earners a 12.4% pay raise. So I hope that's what he does. It starts with dealing with clean energy incentives, but then goes worldwide with this kind of carbon tax. Whether you're a conservative or a progressive, everyone agrees that if there's to be a carbon tax, it needs to be border adjustable so that we apply the tax to imports coming into the very prized American market. If it's coming from a country that doesn't have an equivalent price on carbon dioxide, then the whole world's following. And now you got 7 billion people seeing the true cost of the burning of fossil fuels, and the free enterprise system can deliver innovation. And of course, some of your listeners might be thinking, okay, Steve has on this guy that's very conservative and he's talking in high octane Milton Friedman kind of terms. But they're thinking maybe, oh, it sounds a little bit familiar. Well, it might be because it's the same thing that Al Gore has been for about 30 years.
Indeed. So what are the climate-related infrastructure projects that you think that the Biden administration should quickly move forward with and that will be not just palatable, but attractive to Republicans and conservatives?
I think the electrification of the fleet with charging stations, he's mentioned that on the campaign trail. That's surely something that would help. More money for battery research. I mean, we've had great breakthroughs in battery technology, but if we get even better batteries, it'll really make it so that batteries, not natural gas, are the intermittency backup for wind and solar. Right now, natural gas is that backup, and that's the reality of our situation.
A number of the folks in the Senate are tied closely to coal, not necessarily by party. Of course, Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, but also you have Joe Manchin from West Virginia. And as the coal business has gone away, there's a huge pension problem there. How do you recommend President-elect Biden deal with the need to bring along the coal states in a way that they will embrace dealing with climate disruption rather than continuing to fight it?
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity to bring America together on this because, you know, I think we can all agree that those miners gave us their lungs, in some cases have already given us their lives to provide energy for us. So we owe them something. And I think as a conservative that I owe them a buyout of their pensions. As their companies go bankrupt and the pension liabilities fail them, then we've got to step in and make those miners whole. And that's a good use of some of the revenue from a carbon tax. And so what that creates is a political reality for people who used to be the representatives of coal country, is that those coal jobs clearly aren't coming back. And now the coal companies are going under and the pensions need to be paid. And so it becomes an opportunity to say, well, yeah, we can have climate action if the climate action takes care of those miners. So I think it's a key constituency, particularly key for Mitch McConnell, presumably the Senate Majority Leader.
And there's a similar situation regarding those communities that have been making their living drilling for oil and fracking natural gas.
Yeah. Of course, oil and gas maybe is a little bit further down the track here where, as those better batteries we were just talking about come to be, you know, they're going to be more at risk in the years ahead. That's why companies like BP are so focused on switching away from reliance on selling oil and gas. They're very prescient in that way, seeing what's coming at them and trying to figure out a way to continue to be in the energy business, maybe not just selling the same kind of energy.
How do you deal with a number of elected officials who don't believe that there's a problem with the climate?
I think it's a dwindling number, thankfully. There is a cadre of folks who rejects all the data about climate change, but it's a dwindling number. And one of the reasons it's dwindling, Steve, I think, is a lot of them are having conversations with their children and grandchildren. You know, the grandchild's coming home from State U, and they're saying, you know, Grandpa or Grandma, what you're saying on the Senate floor or the House floor, that is not what they're teaching us at State U. And one of the terrible things about climate change is the realities are upon us. We are seeing the whites of its eyes now. We've got to take a shot, and it has to be a good shot.
Bob Inglis was the U.S. representative from South Carolina's 4th Congressional District. He's now executive director of RepublicEN.org. That's a group of conservatives who care about climate disruption. Bob, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Great to be with you, Steve. Thanks.